This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
A little bit like a chore sometimes, especially if you've had a long day and ordering a takeaway just feels like the easy option, even if it comes with a little bit of guilt. But should we actually feel guilty about it? Well, today on Trade Secrets, I'm joined by food stylist and food content creator Michaela Lowe, who quite literally makes food look irresistible. From elevating home-cooked meals to reviewing takeaways, she knows what works, what tastes good, and how to make it all look amazing. Michaela, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Your job is incredibly unique, it must be said. How did you first get into food styling and content creation?
It was a bit of an accident, to be honest. So I went to NCAD and I studied textile and surface design. And coming out of college, I had always loved cooking, loved food, and I couldn't find a job straight away in it. So I kind of went into a more corporate setting, and I think everyone kind of post lockdown was interested in the TikTok, making a few vlogs and that. And after a year or two of doing that, I started just documenting a bit of the food stuff as well. And I found it kind of got a bit of interaction. And on Instagram, I had a food page where I posted recipes, and then just kind of simultaneously, they both amalgamated to a point where I was kind of just being asked about what I consider food styling for videos, where they needed someone to cook on set, make recipes, and just kind of make the stuff look good. It was kind of more so for social media purposes rather than big productions. But I was kind of like, well, I mean, it's art, it's food, it's creative, and, you know, it's cooking, so I'll put it together. And that's how that kind of was born. And then the kind of the three things all sort of meshed into each other and kind of became an umbrella term of culinary creativeness, is kind of what I like to call it. But yeah, bit of an accident, but a good one anyway.
Definitely a good accident, a kind of happy accident. And food styling in particular, like, do you need any additional training for that? I mean, it's such a, as I said, unique job, and there's obviously a lot of creativity involved. What skills, if you like, do you need for that?
It's funny because you'd think that, you know, being classically trained as a chef would be the main requirement to be a food stylist. However, it is not. It's really good to have a good understanding of how food is made and how different ingredients react with each other, and they might change texture and surface and appearance depending on what you do. However, you don't actually need to be a good cook to be a food stylist, because you're trying to, you know, like a fashion stylist does on a shoot, you're trying to make the product look as good as possible. Also, I do prop styling, so giving it context, putting it in the right sort of situation where it looks its best. And like, sometimes we're not using food ingredients, sometimes I use glue and water and oil and sticks to make stuff look good, and it's filled with, you know, air and just anything that you can do to make it look good. So not necessarily a good cook, it does help, but probably just like being creative and innovative with what you have would definitely be skills that would be helpful.
And having that eye for it, for sure, because you've probably trained yourself to see it now. What is the secret to making food look so good on camera? Is it the additional use of things that aren't food, like you've mentioned there?
Yeah, so it can be. So when you're doing proper food styling, big production for like photography, these macro images that are going on packaging, or, you know, those big billboards, that's where all the non-traditional items come in to make it look good. You're trying to make it shine, make it look appetizing, glossy, making sure you're picking the like a perfect leaf basically for, let's say, a salad, so there's no marks in it, that sort of thing. However, when you're doing it for video, for recipe reels, you do have to do it live, so there it is usually food items that are used for that. So that's kind of more of the stuff I do, where it's kind of you're cooking on video, you're going through the recipe, so you really have to react quickly and not make any mistakes while you're doing it, not overcook something, because it's all being filmed, edited down into a nice kind of recipe reel, be that for the client's YouTube or their Instagram, or maybe they're putting a paid ad out or something like that across social media channels. So that's sort of more the stuff I do, but the both of them are kind of, I suppose, a bit different in that way. But I mean, they're both equally as interesting to do. It's just one is a bit more behind the scenes fiddling with to make it look as good as possible.
when it comes to doing that, styling foods for things like that, but also the live videos where you're preparing something in front of you, is there a food that's particularly hard to deal with in all of that, that just won't play ball in any capacity?
So it's funny because sauces are on everything. However, you have one shot to get that right. So because when you put a sauce all over everything, it's either perfect on camera first time or you destroy the whole dish and have to start again. So if I have a nice thick white sauce that's covering a salad and there's an air pocket in the drizzle bottle and it just splats all over the plate, you've just destroyed the whole scene and you're starting again. So sauces, they're great wow factor for some shoots, but they really, it can be tricky, especially if you drop little droplets of stuff when you're moving stuff and there's a nice white tablecloth. You've ruined that, you've ruined the scene, and you've ruined the dish. So yeah, sauces are fun, but tread with caution with the squirt bottles, I'd say.
That is good to know. And also, that is relatable, because I feel like that happens to people in their own life when they're cooking, though, at the same time. So I can see why that would be a problem food, perhaps, when it comes to making it look really, really good and snazzy on camera. I know that you're big into the food reviews on your platforms as well. Your spice bag reviews in particular have been a big hit. What makes a really good spice bag, and what lets down a bad one?
I think the main thing I found across spice bags I really enjoy is when the place, it's not too fancy. Like, I feel like you can get really nice quality stuff, really good quality, and it's nearly too nice. I need it to kind of be a little bit, like, I don't know, questionable. You know, when they don't take card at the counter, the food and, like, health and safety authority have been there recently for a check. That is what I have found the best spice bag. I also don't like it to be too wet. I like quite a dry spice bag. Not really interested in the veg. A lot of people are. Personally, it's hit or miss. I like it to be there just for company, but I'm not reaching for it. But those would kind of be my go-tos. However, I am a creature of habit, and I do have like a few regular places that I go to again and again, and it's my comfort locations.
Where are your comfort locations?
So Taste of Asia in Sallynagan and Golden Elephant in Dunleary are my current two hyperfixation locations that I go back and forth to, depending on exactly what I'm getting.
Okay, good to add to the list. There might be students listening to this evening or people that are living on some sort of a budget, which I feel like is everybody at the minute with this cost of living and all of that. But if people are trying to meal prep or even just make a dinner in the evenings that's easy on the budget, what recipes would you kind of generally recommend to people?
I mean, like, anytime I'm feeling a little bit lazy but I want stuff for like maybe a lunch and a dinner the next day, a big interesting pasta I feel like is always great because it's quite versatile. You can put different things in it. If you're one of those gym bros, you can fill a full of chicken if you so desire. If you're not, you want like a pasta salad and nice and fresh, you can do that as well. They keep well, and just make sure you reheat them properly. But also I love poke bowls recently for lunch because you just batch cook some rice and you can kind of make them customizable. If you're living with people or family or friends, you can put little toppings on and bring them in a lunchbox. Those are kind of my go-tos at the moment, and they're not too hard on the pocket either. I find reasonable priced ingredients, so yeah.
Do people reach out to you all the time because of your page, also in your personal life, but particularly because of the page, and just ask you about recipes all the time? Like, am I just joining a queue of people? Like, it must be, because that's your job nearly, and like that's why people are probably asking you this the whole time.
Sometimes I get comments like saying, like, would you do like a series of like, kind of like you said, like budget friendly office meals, like back to like college, you know, lunch meals, stuff like that. And like simple kind of cooking tasks, things that are like staple skills, like that you can kind of apply to all sorts of stuff. Like, I'm kind of big on the like use like what's in the fridge and make something up with that. So if you have like fundamental principles of like how to treat different ingredients, you can kind of apply that to whatever you have. You don't necessarily have to go out and spend a load of money. I do a lot of the time have texts from more so friends, but sometimes strangers saying like, what will I make for dinner? Inspire me. How do I make this? Can you give me a nice pasta recipe? Or like, how do I make this? And then I just have a few in the arsenal I can dish out whenever.
Dish out. I love that pun. Brilliant. For people who are looking for a good meal maybe or a takeaway right now, just really good, hearty food that you'll enjoy. Any go-to recommendations for you?
I have a little bit of a guilty pleasure on a Sunday. I like to go to a little pub either in Greystones or Enniskerry, and I get a post-hike pint of Guinness, chicken wings and chips, or soup and chips, and it is just like nothing for me beats it. And I would never order chicken wings usually, like I don't like them. However, in the Enniskerry Inn in Enniskerry is where I go. Just perfect to me, a perfect post-hike situation, or either down like the beach house in Greystones or the Horse and Hound in Delgany.
I'm getting hungry. I need to go like have some dinner or something like this after talking with you all about this. I'm sure people will have the same thoughts in a good way though when they look at your socials. Where can we find you online?
So I'm on Instagram, Michaela Lowe XX, and Lowe is spelled L-A-U-X. And then it's the same on TikTok, but it's just three X's at the end.
Thank you for joining me on iRadio's Group Chat and for imparting all your wisdom about food styling and reviewing and content creation to do with food. And I'm sure we will chat to you again.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Valerie.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.